Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host. Thank you for joining me today. It is really great to be with you. Today's episode of A Quiet Life, I think it is number 129, and I'm recording it right at the beginning of April in 2023. And today's is a fairly personal episode, and I don't know how I could do anything else, as you'll hear me talking to Scotty. But I hope it's still helpful. I think that things I've learned in the last little while might be transferable to other people's life situations, and I hope it's transferable to yours. So I did a lot of deep sharing with Scotty, so I thought, well, look, I'll just jump into it now. Let's have a listen to what we had to talk about the other week on the radio station, and it was just last week. Gosh, time is still moving very quickly. And then afterwards, I'll unpack it a bit more.
Good morning, Hobart Soul 26.5. Ruth Amos is with us again this morning. Life hacks.
Good morning, Scotty.
You so helped my life. Can I just say the amount of times that I'm going like, oh, Ruth has said that. That's right. I need to do that. You know, like
it's that is very kind.
Such good advice.
That's what I'm hoping for.
How you doing?
Well, it's been quite the month. We've had a few. You know, like my car broke down. I got gastro.
This is your mini.
Yeah,
your mini broke
needed
down.
A new radiator.
Oh no,
it was a bit sad.
No.
And then so they were the little crises, and then we've had the big ones like a relative in ICU for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I've had actually three friends pass away.
So, oh man,
I've travelled to Canberra for my grandson's first birthday. It's been
wow.
It's been a really big month, Scotty. A really big month, everyone. But it made me think. I'm thinking, what can I share with people about this? But the thing is, the reason why I think I haven't completely fallen apart in an absolute heap on the ground more than a few times is because I've built space into my life so that I can respond to these types of crises. Now, I've built a lot of space into my life because that's what I chose to do. But I was thinking, you know, for some people, our lives are so packed full, and this is how my life was back in 2018, so packed full of really good things that if even one of those things happens, you can't cope.
Yeah.
You can't manage. You're already working at the end of your tether. You're already like really extremely busy and you just don't have 5 minutes to think. And then something happens and your whole house of cards falls down.
Yeah.
So my life hack today is to see if you can build space into your life. Yeah.
But and in one sense, so that's a really scary thing. Like we've had a crazy few years.
Yeah.
And what I went the opposite way. I had space in my life. It was when COVID, first hit and the other things were going on. I had space but I didn't want to think about anything. So I actually crammed it. Like I crammed it to the point that I'm like, I won't have any opportunity to think about anything. But, I mean, that's the unhealthy way to approach it, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, it is. Another thing that we can find is that we're cramming it full because we're building our identity and all these good things. So, yeah, but I totally agree with you that, yeah, you can just think, okay, if I just keep going, then I'm not going to have to come to terms with all of these things. And
you lay in bed every night time, your mind starts going like crazy because you're going, hang on, I've got to think about this now,
yeah.
You know.
Haven't given myself time to think. So, again, it comes back to, it seems to always come back to having that time of silence and solitude where you let yourself actually think the things and actually feel the things.
Which is scary and vulnerable and challenging all at once.
Yeah. But I also have enjoyed having enough space in my life to go and sit with my mother-in-law in ICU by my father-in-law's bedside. That's been a really wonderful thing to be able to do. But if your life is packed full and could be packed full of really good things, you won't have time to help somebody. I heard a quote in the plane, on a podcast, the CPX podcast, which is fantastic, called Life and Faith. But the quote was, are you so busy doing good things that you don't have time to help a friend in need? And I'm sure that a lot of people out listening have heard the story of the Good Samaritan. It's this Samaritan who gets hurt by the wayside, and the people who passed him by and didn't help him were good people. They were a priest and a Levite, and the reason they passed by is because if they touched him, they would have got defiled, and then they wouldn't have been able to do the good things that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that your life is full of rubbish. I'm saying your life is full of good things, but maybe you need to cut down on a few of those good things to, yes, give yourself time to emotionally process if something goes wrong, give yourself time to grow spiritually and to rest and to think and to pray and to meditate. And then also, when crisis comes along, you're going to have time to respond.
Yeah, so good. So good. So tell me then, how does that outplay into our lives? Like, how do you choose which things go, which things stay?
That is really difficult. But, you know, I think for people with children, there's a lot of pressure to say, right, my kids have to do gymnastics and they have to do soccer and they have to do piano lessons and they have to be in some sort of drama class and all of that. But I think children actually need time to do free play and things like that. So maybe you need to look at your child and say, well, their aptitude seems to go in this direction. Maybe we'll cut out a few of the things that they don't enjoy so much. In our own lives, I really think it's just, again, you're going to have to take a little time to think, but to say that, yes, I agree, everything's so good. Now, which things fall within my personality type? Which things fall within my values? Which things am I just doing because they look good or because I think I should? That should word. Oh, cut out the shoulds.
Or even pressure from other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which things am I doing to prove to my father who passed away 10 years ago that I... that I really can do this.
Yeah.
Or to my great aunt who said to me, this is what you should be doing. You know, there's things that we do for the wrong reasons. There just are.
Yeah.
And maybe cut those things first. Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, you know, you've had a crazy period. How's your faith played a part in this? Like, how's that built into your life?
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. It's been so helpful. So I don't know. How I would have, I could rest in the fact that God had it under control. Every one of my friends who passed away knowing Jesus. And that means that I can rest in the fact that I know where they are and who they're with, you know, and be at peace in that. So I'm going to miss them, but I know who they're with. And with the family health crises and whatever, just being able to pray, just being able to say, okay, I can't. I'm completely out of control in this situation. There is nothing I can do except sit with someone who's struggling, but I can give that to God and say, you can do something, and I trust you with the outcome, and I trust you to help us as we walk through this outcome.
Yeah, and there's a real peace in that.
Absolutely.
And I know for me in my journey over the last few years, there can be joy even in the worst circumstances. So there may not be happiness, but there can be joy.
Yeah, and it holds you together.
Yeah. Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Scotty.
RuthAmos.com.au. Go check out more from Ruth. Hobart's Ultra Runner 65.
So there you go. It's been a bit of a month when I tell people about it. How are you doing? Well, yeah, it's been a bit of a month. Happy for March to have gone away. Need to let you know that my father-in-law is doing much better. He's out of ICU and he's continuing to heal. And for everyone who has prayed for me, I'm very, very grateful for your prayers. Thank you very much. For any of my friends who listen to this podcast who think, well, Ruth didn't tell me that was going on, I apologize. I tried to tell people, but I also just was trying to cope at the time. And so, sorry for not sharing with you. That doesn't mean anything about our friendship. And thank you for your prayers now. it's been fun. I did talk about this a bit, I think, in my last podcast as well. But so it's been an interesting month. And, yeah, I was really thinking, well, should I even podcast this week? Like, I haven't had time to think. I have had time to think, but my thoughts have been fairly focused in just one direction or another direction, but not that nice pondering that you do before you put out a podcast. But then I thought, no, there is something here that I can say that doesn't just apply to my packed full of crises month, but applies across the board. And so that is what I want to say today. I think that we can pack our lives full. They tend to become full. They tend to just grow in busyness. And we need to stop periodically and say, what am I doing that I should be doing and what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? And I did really like Scotty bringing up different reasons why we cram our lives full. And one of the reasons is, as he said, if we don't want to think. One of my favourite stories about my friend who said that she thought that people should put a TV underneath the massage table so that you can watch TV when you're getting a massage so you don't have to think. There is a lot of thoughts going on in our mind. And one of the things that I do to avoid thinking is that I listen to podcasts regularly, and I think podcasts are good things. But there are times, I know, where I'm escaping into a podcast so that I don't have to listen to the thoughts in my brain. And I think that a lot of people are doing that all the time. If you stop for a second, if you're, you know, waiting in a line at the supermarket, or if you're on the bus or waiting for something, you pull out your phone and you start scrolling the socials or watching Insta Reels or doing something just so you don't have to listen to the thoughts that are in your brain. And it's not a healthy way to live. And as disturbing as our thoughts might sometimes be, even just being in touch with them and knowing that we're thinking that is a healthier thing to do. So, yes, we can cram our lives so full of good things so that we're avoiding having to think, but that does mean that you don't know how you are or how you are coping. Your relationship with God might just be completely off the cards or happening by rote. Your relationships with other people in that extra, extra busy situation just happen by rote, because relationships take time and they take emotional energy. And the way to get emotional energy is often, if you're an extrovert, by spending time with people, but also even if you are an extrovert, and definitely if you're an introvert, by spending time alone and just regrouping and getting in touch with yourself. I think it's a very healthy thing to be. And to do. You might also be getting your identity from being the busy person, the one who always does all the things. And that's a big temptation and a difficult thing to let go of. Identity is central to who we are, believe it or not. And it's something I've been thinking about quite a bit. I've just realized, probably for the second time, I realized it last year, but I forgot. And then I needed to realize again that the book that I'm writing, my nonfiction book, about finding your thing and about making the time to do it. What is that about? It's about identity. Who am I? What do I do? Where do I find? And of course, your identity, there's layers of it. So, you know, my topmost layer of identity, or my in deepest most layer, depending on how you're looking at it, is that I am a daughter of God and I belong to God and God values me. And that's fantastic. That underlies everything, but that doesn't tell me how to live my day-to-day life and what things I should be doing and shouldn't be doing, what things are my things to do, what things I do well, and what gift I can give back to God and I can give back to the world, or what I'm called to do, or anything like that. And so my book and what I've been thinking through is really practical ways of thinking through that question of identity on a day-to-day level. And hang in there, it is going to come out. It is going to come out hopefully this year. And I'm also putting together a course where we can work through these things together, and I'll figure out how to promote that and how to get that happening as well. But that really is what it's about. And if your identity is purely in I'm the busy one, it's not enough. That's not a unique gift that you can give to the world. And so if these two things are happening to you, that you're cramming your life full so you don't have to think, or you're cramming your life full because that's where you find your identity, one of the things I encourage you to do is write down an everything list and just write down everything that you have in your head that you think you need to do. Just get it all out on paper and then really take some time to think about what's on that list and pray about what's on that list. Maybe use the urgent, important quadrants, you know, urgent and important, important but not urgent, urgent but not important, and neither important nor urgent. And if you put your tasks into those four quadrants, you can get rid of some off your list and give yourself a bit more time to be and a bit more time to think. But the thing that I really wanted to say here is that all of this might just sound selfish to you. And selfish is one of my big words. I know it's something that I really struggle with, feeling selfish. And what I have realized this month is that having space in your schedule, having time that's not blocked in or given over to some worthy and good activity, or even having the option to say no to some of the things you're doing, because there were some things that I just had to call people and say, no, I can't I can't do coffee with you, or I can't do my creative space writing group this week, or I can't do this, that, and the other thing. And having the ability to do that, to know that you're not the essential peg on which this thing rests, or you're not the foundation for it, or anything like that. Having that space and that time already built into your schedule can feel selfish. And we talk about self-care, and I think that often, especially if you're a Christian, you look at this whole self-care thing and you think, nope, that's not for me, because the Bible says consider others more important than yourself, and therefore I should just be slaving all the time and doing all these things that I'm doing because they're all very good things, and I should just keep doing good things all the time and filling my schedule with good things and being really busy with good things and whatever. And I can't build space in there for me to explore my creativity or read a book or sit and have a hot coffee and watch the waves at the beach or anything like that, because that is just selfish. That's using the time for me, and that's not what we want. And it's just not true. It's not selfish to have space in your life. And what I found over the last month, which had many more crises than any month should ever have, is that having space already built in my life meant that I had space to respond to the situation. I had emotional energy already in my life because of the time that I take to sit with myself every morning and pray, the time that I take to read, the time that I take to knit and just have time off at the end of every day. All of that meant that I had emotional energy to deal with and to be support for people who are really wiped out by these crises. I even had emotional energy to deal with when I was wiped out by the crisis or the gastro or whatever it was. So, yeah, building space into your life is pre-building that emotional energy, that when crises come along, yeah, they're going to hit you, but they're not going to hit you like a tsunami. They're going to hit you like a wave that'll roll you around against the seafloor for a bit and then let you up to breathe. So I'm not saying I was a bundle of joy laughing my way through the last month. I found it hard. I was, one, inconvenienced. You know, there were many times where there were things I would have rather have been doing. Nobody actually likes to sit next to an ICU bed. Nobody wants to be there. But, it did take time, and there were things that I couldn't do that I would have liked to have done. And I was also grieving. I mean, I lost 3 friends. This is not something that is easy to deal with. Having your relatives sitting there looking so unlike themselves is really difficult to deal with. It's hard. There's grief in that. And that's, I'm not ignoring that grief. I'm definitely feeling that grief, and I need to give myself more time over the next couple of months to feel it more fully. But I haven't been smashed. And I haven't been trying to fit this in along with that and this with that and this with that, you know, and trying to squeeze things into every day, round all the corners and edges and everything, because I have had the space to respond. So I know that I'm extreme, and I really am very aware that I'm very privileged in the way that I live my life. I am a kept woman. I mean, I do work, yes, but my husband works as well, and he provides a lot of the money for our household, and I'm very, very, very grateful to him to do it. And I know that not everybody lives in that sort of privileged situation. And I was the perfect person to go into hospital with my mother-in-law out of all of our family, because I was the one who could put my stuff to the side for this month and take the time. And if I had been working a regular day job, we would have had to find some other way around so that we could all support in different ways. But it was a bit difficult because other family members got sick, and you can't bring sickness into the hospital, and other family members had to work and all the rest. I don't need to explain this to you. Just, I know I'm privileged, all right? I know that that not everybody can do this, but I do believe that all of us can really look at our activities and think about why we're doing them, and try to intentionally build space not as a selfish thing, but as a necessary part of our schedule. If you are spending every day right at the end of your tether, using up every bit of your emotional energy, and if you find yourself hoarding emotional energy so that you know that you have it for when you need it, and if you are tired all the time, and if you don't have time for physical exercise, and if you don't have time, even 5 minutes to just sit and check in with yourself and check in with God every day, then I would say that something in your schedule could possibly need to go. Oh, I feel so bad saying that, because I think about my people's life. You know, if you're in a stage of life where you have small children, this is harder. This is much harder. If you're a space in your life where you're caring for somebody who is disabled or whatever, yeah, it's harder. But it's so worthwhile. And just think about the fact that if this space, this margin around your appointments, this time that you have that's just a little bit loose and easy around things, so that not everything is packed tightly into your schedule, but there's just little breaks, little times, little spaces, then when somebody needs your help, you will have space to be able to give them help. And then you need to make sure that doesn't then become the thing that packs your schedule full on a long-term basis. But I'm talking about having space for when crisis hits, having space for short-term issues. If you're not in crisis and you have that space, then that's excellent. You can use that space to grow spiritually, to maybe read books or to do online courses or read the Bible and pray or meditate or do whatever you want. You can have that space to nap. You can have that space to play a board game with your family members and build your relationship there. You can have that space to exercise, go for a walk along the beach, chat with somebody, do whatever. But having that space, it's not selfish. It's not self-indulgent. It's a really important thing to build into your daily schedule, so you're not just running from pillar to post all the time, but you can live a more peaceful and restful life. And then when crisis hits, you can respond. So that's what I'm encouraging you to do. I would, as always, love to hear your feedback. Even if your feedback is, "Ruth, you're an idiot, there is no way I can build space into my life," I would love to hear it. I would love to maybe work with you to see what you can and can remove from your life, what things you are doing that just really maybe don't need to be done. I don't know. I could not find something, but maybe working together we can find some way that you can build space into your life. Or I encourage you to have a chat with somebody you trust and see if they can help you look at your everything list and say, you know what, those three things you don't actually need to do. It's a possibility. It's something I'd just like you to think that maybe could be possible. Please feel free to write to me, as always, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or find me on Twitter @aquietlifeblog, or find me on Facebook @ruthamosauthor. I would really love to hear from you, and I'm hoping for a nice crisis-free fortnight for you, where you can build space into your life and breathe and be peaceful. And I will chat to you again soon.